T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, our interview with Jack Edwards is brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is the man himself, Jack Edwards. Jack, I want to start. I know there's a lot of team building things going on right now in the offseason, but I want to start with Game 7 because we haven't talked to you since. It wasn't a 5-1, 5-2 game that got away from them, but they go down 3-2. Did they just lose to a better team?
Yeah. In a word, yeah. We can X and O them to death, but the fact remains Carolina was better man for man, and as a team, the Bruins couldn't get much going against them on the road. They lost to a better team, and they've got a lot of work to do in the off season if they hope to get better for next year.
So, Jack, a lot of housekeeping right now since the season's officially over, right? And so we were just discussing this Cam Neely sound when he referenced Bruce Cassidy, says that he likes him as a coach, but he needs to make some changes, referring to Bruce Cassidy. Now, do you think that's more of how he handles the team with his press conferences and, like, kind of, you know, calling out guys, or is it his basic approach towards calling a game in real time?
You know, reading between the lines of Cam's quote, it seems as if he has a problem with the way Bruce goes public with his criticism, especially of young players and benching young players during games. But the specific question was about the treatment of Trent Frederick, or I should say the specific answer. And the Bruins were in a Game 7 situation, and they were playing for their hockey lives. And you got to trust the coach to do what's right and try to pull out a victory at that point. Trent Frederick didn't do his perception of hockey IQ any favors in this series. He's a really enthusiastic physical player who has somewhat of a scoring touch, not great, but he's there to create energy and hit people and, you know, hit people legally. And he let it get out of control a couple of times at crucial moments, and his puck management was not good. And Bruce was looking for something from somebody else who would do a better job when the team was fighting for its life. So, I respect Cam's judgment, obviously, but I think that Bruce Cassidy, his record shows that he's as good a coach as could be expected with the personnel that's currently on the roster.
So if that is the issue, obviously his record shows that he's a very effective coach with this team, but if that is a major issue maybe coming from the locker room and the younger guys in the locker room, is that enough to make a coaching change there?
In my opinion, no. But they might shake up the assistant coaching staff And I don't know if it will do any good. The biggest problem the Bruins face, in my personal opinion, is a lack of pressure from Providence on the varsity roster. And that was really strong during the Claude Julien power years. And you had quality players in Providence who couldn't crack the lineup because they were deep, they were strong, and the league has made a transition to speed and skill, and Carolina is deep in that manner, as you probably saw two nights ago in the third period when they finally found their game against the Rangers and just dominated down the stretch and pulled it out in overtime. And the Bruins have to get younger, faster, and more skilled. And that's going to necessitate some deals in the offseason, whether they be free agents and or trades, because other than Fabian Lysell, there's not much down on the farm.
We're talking to Jack Edwards here of Nesson. And Jack, another one, Cam Neely, talking about Don Sweeney and why he waited. He wanted to see how the year played out. He mentioned that he loved what he did at the trade deadline. You called that Hampus Lindholm deal a tremendous deal, especially locking him up long term. Did that deal for Lindholm save Don Sweeney's job?
You know, I was thinking about the core of the team going forward. They're really set in goal. I think Jeremy Swayman is going to be at least a very good, maybe great NHL goaltender. If the Bruins get out of Linus Ullmark what he did for them in the second half of the season, he's part of the core also. Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm are a great first pair. Matt Grzelcyk, it's going to be hard to deal him in the offseason because he's going to miss the beginning of the 2023 season. He's scheduled for surgery on his shoulder, and that's a long rehab. Brandon Carlo is on a long-term contract, so he's part of the core up front. Bergeron, if he wants to be back, Marchand, Pasternak, and Taylor Hall, and Charlie Coyle. And that's about it. And Don Sweeney has a lot of work to do to beef up this roster. So, yeah, maybe the acquisition of Lindholm, which was a great acquisition, gives him wiggle room. But the record in drafting has not been good. You know, they've done well in second and third rounds consistently in the last 5 to 8 years, but the first rounders are, you know, they're underperforming other than McAvoy and Pasternak, and many of them have found other homes.
All right, so we're talking to Jack Edwards. And last one for me, Jack. So the other storyline of this offseason is obviously going to be Bergeron. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just assume if he does retire, what would be the best move to make for the Bruins to realistically, you know, replace him?
You know, there aren't many free agent centers that can step into the Bruins lineup. And the agents for the free agents know that, and they're going to charge premium price and premium term. So Bergeron is making a shade less than $7 million a year against the cap, and it'll cost the Bruins upwards of $7 million, I think, for 7 years to land a top six center. And Vincent Trocheck is available on July 13th if the Carolina Hurricanes don't sign him. But other than that, I don't know what center could come in and hope to fill at least 90% of Bergeron's shoes. He's a unique player. He's the odds-on favorite to win his fifth, which would be a record. Selke Trophy is the best defensive forward in the NHL. He's been nominated for 11 straight years. He's been in the top five for 13 straight, I think. And, you know, that's unprecedented. When a guy like that walks away, if he walks away, that's a hole you cannot possibly fill. And it would be crisis mode for the Bruins if they did not replace that position with a really high-quality player.
So, Jack, I had to ask you, in your personal opinion, do you think Patrice Bergeron will retire after this season? This season that just wrapped, I want to clarify.
Yeah. Mego, I had the feeling that he would come back in the last month of the season because he was playing at such a high level and leading the team so well. His behavior in the aftermath of Game 7 makes me take a pause, because he's always been about we, not about me. And the biggest we in his life is his family, not the Boston Bruins. And let's not forget October of 2007, when I honestly thought, when Don Del Negro cut his visor off his helmet and he was lying down behind the goal line after taking that Randy Jones hit, I thought Patrice Bergeron was dying in front of our eyes. And, you know, he's got three young children, and those are the most important people, along with Stephanie, in his life. And I think he's going to make a difficult call, and I'm leaning toward him retiring right now, but it might have been just his body language at the disappointment of getting eliminated in Game 7. So I hope I'm misreading this situation.
All right, Jack, well, we'll wait and see how that decision comes down, and we'll figure that one out. But listen, we appreciate you spending the time with us this year. Really enjoyed it every single Thursday talking to you. I'm sure Brick has already got about 10 rounds of golf in, so enjoy your offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And looking forward to talking to you again, pal.
Hey, it's been a blast, and I have treasured every moment with you guys.
All right, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Right. Thanks, Jack.
That's Jack Edwards. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.